going to be introduced to quite a few different characters. And as we look at this part of the scripture, we are going to see how they are very ordinary people, but God had a special plan because he is an extraordinary God. Now, during this season, and as we look to the Lord, there are certain things that change us. There are certain things that changed this world. It was a pivotal moment when Jesus came, because everything in the world then changed at that point, because salvation had entered into the world through the baby Jesus. Now, my life changed this week. This past week, I was invited to a family's house, and they were going to cook dinner. And so we were coming over there, and I heard what they were going to be making. And so I thought it was a mythical bird. I did not know that it was a real thing. I had heard John Madden talk about it for many years. But there's something called a turducken. And what this is this is a turkey that has been deboned. And inside of it, there's a duck that's been deboned. And inside that duck, there is a chicken that has been deboned. And inside each layer of meat, different kinds of meat, there is stuffing. And now let me tell you something. I'm a traditional guy. I love tradition, but I ain't never going back. That thing was a pivotal thing. Actually, here's a picture of it real quick if you don't believe me. It was amazing. It was something different. But when you look at Luke chapter 2, it's pivotal. It changes humanity. It changed this world. And so let's take a look at Luke chapter 2, starting with verse 1. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that was taken while Cornelius was the governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house of David. He went there to register with Mary, who he was pledged to be to marry. And she was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the field nearby, keeping watch over their flock at night. When you see this story, you see two very ordinary people in Mary and Joseph. Yet they were chosen by God with a purpose. And inside of Mary, the Holy Spirit had come upon her, and she was chosen to carry the Messiah, the one that God had talked about for hundreds and thousands of years that he would come. So she was chosen, and yet we see her being obedient to the call of God. Ordinary people. But then we see ordinary shepherds. Now, I want to pause just for a minute and talk about the shepherds. The shepherds, they were known as outcasts. A lot of times they were put down or ridiculed. They could not keep the ceremonial law because they were dirty. So they were not allowed into the temple. They were not able to be a part of that also because there was a demanding role that they had in their job. And yet, these ordinary men who were outcasts were chosen by God to be a part of this story. Let's look here in verse 9 as they are in their field at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. They were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for," what does it say? "All people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in clothes, lying in a manger." You can imagine the surprise of these shepherds. It's kind of a normal night, same thing over and over. They're watching their sheep. And yet the heavens opened up, and that surprise, it led them to be scared. They were terrified. They were surprised. Being a surprise this time of year can sometimes be a really good thing, and it can be a hard thing. My sister was actually surprised this week when she and her three young children decided that they were going to go get their picture taken together. They were all up in their Christmas outfit, and they were going to get their picture taken for cards and to be able to reach out to family. And so she had them all ready to go. They looked, they're nines. They looked great. And yet, when she was in the other room feeding the baby, she heard nothing. Now, moms, when you hear nothing, and you've got two other kids in the playroom, you get a little suspicious. So she got up real quick, she walked over and opened the door, and as she opened the door, she hears, "Oh no." And when she looked in, she saw her five-year-old son, Raleigh, with a pair of scissors and a handful of hair. And his sister, Quinny, well, she got a haircut for Christmas. She got bangs. If you don't believe me, here's the picture to show, prove it. And so you can see these cute kids. And my sister tried everything to be able to kind of touch it up. But this will be a memory that they'll never forget. What a surprise. These shepherds were surprised. They were not only surprised by the angels coming to them, but they were surprised by the news that was given to them. What? You would come to me? I want to encourage you with something today. God's love is extraordinary, and it is for you. You see, it is because of God's extraordinary love that he sent Jesus to this earth to make salvation available to all. These shepherds, these outcasts, Jesus came to them. But Jesus comes to all. Now, what do we see in verse 13 as the story continues? And suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel. You know, if they were scared with one, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." Now, when you look at verse 14, a little Bible trivia for us. I love Bible trivia. The verse 14 where it says, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those whom his favor rests," that verse was actually the first words ever spoken over the radio. Why? Because this is a pivotal moment. But when the angels had left, they hurried off. So they hurried off and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. It was exactly what the angels had said, but they had to hurry off to find and to see this baby. But I love it that the first people that were announced that Jesus had come to this earth, the Savior, the one that would change everything, was ordinary shepherds. It wasn't a king. It wasn't the media. It was simple men who were looking after sheep. You see, today, God, he wants to use us. He uses ordinary people to share extraordinary news. Just as he used the shepherds back then, he uses us today. You see, when the shepherds, when they had heard this and when they went and they looked and they saw this baby, they couldn't stop talking about it. They couldn't stop sharing all that God had done. But for us as believers, those of you that believe that Jesus Christ is the Lord and the Savior, for us, he has given us this command. Look at what Mark 16, 15 says, and Jesus gave this command before he went back into heaven, and it says, "And then he told them, go into all of the world and preach the good news to everyone. Everyone who believes and is baptized will be saved. That is a promise from God. But anyone who refuses to believe will be condemned. You see, Jesus spoke this command for believers to go, to share, just as the shepherds, when they saw it, they couldn't stop talking about it. But he told this to flawed disciples, to fishermen, ones that had made lots of mistakes. But God loves to use extraordinary people for extraordinary things. I love what Oswald Chambers said. He says this, all of God's people are ordinary people who have been made extraordinary by the purpose that he has given them. God gives us purpose today. And in that purpose, it's first to be able to know Jesus, to follow Jesus. And then he opens up the doors for us to be used by the Lord, a purpose. But as we continue on here in this story, we see that Jesus then was taken by his parents, Mary and Joseph, to the temple. This was on the eighth day. You'll see it here on the screen. On the eighth day, when the time to be circumcised, the child, he was named Jesus, the name the angels had given him before he was conceived. And when the time came for the purification, the rites, requirements by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to be present him to the Lord. As it is written, the law of the Lord, that every firstborn male was to be consecrated to the Lord, to be dedicated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what was said in the law of the Lord. A pair of doves, turtle doves, or two young pigeons. In the Old Testament, when the firstborn was born, there needed to be a time where that dedication took place, but there was also a sacrifice that would take place. And so if you were rich or you were doing okay financially, you were to bring a lamb. But if you were extremely poor, you would bring turtle doves. You see, Jesus was never rich. He never had money. And when he grew up, he was also suffered. He was ridiculed. He was mistreated. He felt pain. Now, we ask ourselves, well, why? Why do I feel that way sometimes? Why did Jesus feel that way? Well, Jesus, when he came to this world as the Savior, he took on the flesh, the skin of a man, because he was all man and all God. And yet when he took that on, he felt the pain that man feels, the suffering. And I know that whenever I'm going through a hard time, it is wonderful to be able to have that knowledge, knowing that what I'm going through is something that Jesus understands, because he was a man, because he had suffered. And I think that that's an encouragement to me, because I know that it is God who sent Jesus to be able to feel that so that then he could relate. He relates to you. He knows what you're going through, and he is a God of love. You see, this Christmas, if you're struggling, if you're going through a hard time, allow God to bring hope and healing to your heart in this way that only he can, because God loves you and he understands you. He understands what is going on, what you're feeling. But we're called to be closer to God because he wants that personal relationship with us. Look at this verse here on the screen in Romans 8:38. It says that I am convinced that nothing can separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or on the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. In this world, we might feel alone sometimes, but we're not. The love of God is there, and he has promised us that he will not only be there, but he will minister to us. And spending eternity with him is in our future for those that put their faith and trust in Jesus. So we see Jesus here in the temple. And when he's in the temple, we see that at that moment, a man comes up to him. Let's see here on the screen in verse 25, it says, "There was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was custom to the law requirements, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, 'Sovereign Lord, you have promised that you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation in the Gentiles and the glory of your people in Israel.'" Simeon had waited. He was waiting to be able to see the Messiah. And as he waited, he goes through what a lot of us go through as time goes on, is that patience, that hard thing of waiting. And as he is waiting, and at this moment, we see that not only is Simeon there, but we also see a person named Anna come into the story. We see here in verse 36 that there was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Peniel in the tribe of Asher. She was very old, and she had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then had been a widow until she was 84. She had never left the temple, but worshiped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. Here we see that both of these characters, a lot of times we don't see these characters very often. They're only told right here in these few verses. But yet we see that they're faithful servants of God. God comes to the faithful as well. Not just to the poor, not just to the outcast, but to the faithful. And as he came to the faithful, we see that they were holding on to something that made them powerful. They were holding on to a promise that God had given them. And in that promise, as they held on to it, they rejoiced. You see, today, each one of us, in the word of God, there's 7,000 promises that are for us. And as we take those promises, those are for us. Those are things that we hold on to. Those are things that give us strength. We see Anna going through a really hard time. She had been a widow for close to 60 years. She had struggled, and she had waited. But the promise of God, you see, today we can rejoice in the fact that our God is a promise maker, and he is also the promise keeper. You know, promises, they are so powerful. And a promise that God gives us is that he will never leave us. He doesn't promise that things will be wonderful or fantastic. No, he promises that we're not going to be alone. But waiting is something that is very difficult. Over the last couple of months, you guys have heard me talk and share a little bit about my wife, Amanda, who was diagnosed with a different kind of cancer. And we waited. We waited and waited to be able to talk with the oncologist to see if they had gotten all of the cancer out, to see kind of what was next. Well, this past week, as we were waiting, but also trust in God, the doctors told us that she's cancer-free right now, that they were able to get it all. Now, there was a maintenance that they want to do. And so there's another part of waiting. But today, we can rejoice that our God is a promise maker. And he is a promise keeper. And this past year, the YouVersion, like they always do, keeping up with their tradition, they shared what was the most popular verse that year. And so in the Bible app, it is kind of how they would do that is they would see which one was underlined the most, which one was highlighted, which one was shared, which one was read the most. And this year it was Isaiah 41:10. And even though it's the verse of 2022, I would like to encourage you that this is a verse that is for every single day because it talks about the promises of God. Look at what it says here. It says, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will uphold you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." That verse right there is something that is for you. It is something that I have held on to, knowing that our God is with us. So hold on to that. Hold on to the promises of God. He is a promise maker, but he's also a perfect promise keeper. Now, as we see in the book of Matthew, we see kind of an extra part to this story. You'll see it here on the screen in Matthew chapter 2. Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. About the same time, a wise man from the east landed and arrived in Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the newborn king of the Jews? We saw his star as it rose, and we have come to worship him." We see here that these men, the Magi, a lot of translations say, these wise men, they weren't Jewish. They didn't know the promises of God. They more than likely were a part of a different religion, but yet they saw something different. And in that time, during that time in the world, there was kind of an expectancy of something that was going to change things. And so as they were seeking, as they were looking, a sign came to them, a sign of a star. And that star led them to Israel. And when they were in Israel, after traveling a long way, where do they go? Well, if you're in Israel and you're looking for a king, where are you going to go? You're going to go to the palace. You're going to go into the capital city. And so they showed up in Jerusalem. They were looking for the king of the Jews. But yet the king of the Jews was not there, was he? And after that, there was an interview that took place with Herod. And we see here in verse 9, a little bit more information. The wise men went there on their way. Jesus wasn't there in Jerusalem. And the star that they had seen in the east guided them to Jerusalem, or guided them to Bethlehem. It went ahead of them, and it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house, and they saw the child with his mother, Mary. They bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasure chests and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. These Magi had traveled a long distance. They were seeking. They were looking. But yet, I want to kind of hone in on what their response was. Their response when they saw this child was to worship. Our response today, how do we respond to Jesus? How do we respond to who he is, to that gift. You see, we've seen four different responses. We've seen the shepherds. What did the shepherds do when they heard the news? They hurried off. They went to see the baby. What did Anna do? Anna praised God. She had finally seen it. She had been waiting for this moment. And we see Simeon. Simeon had that Lion King moment. Lift up the baby. And we see the Magi, the wise men. They knelt. They bowed down. They worshiped. God is a loving God. And God had a plan and a purpose, and that plan and the purpose was to send Jesus for that pivotal moment in all of history to offer salvation to his people. But I would like to ask you this question again. How do we respond to Jesus? There's different reactions. Well, take a look at this verse here on the screen. If we respond to Jesus with the desire of coming to know him, we see here in Romans 10:9, it says that if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. We see here another promise. The promise of salvation through Jesus. But Jesus, when he came, it wasn't just he came as a baby as love came into this world, but he came with a purpose. And that purpose was to go to the cross for you and me, to be that sacrifice that allowed us to have that relationship with God. So when you think of a manger and you think of Christmas, when you see the tree out in the commons, we think, all right, 'tis the season. But you'll see here on the screen the reason. It says the season that we celebrate the birth of Jesus, but the real reason why he came to die for us, to offer his life as a sacrifice. If you would, at this moment, I just want us to reflect just for a minute. Would you bow your heads and just kind of close your eyes? And I want you to think of the answer that you personally have to this question. How do I respond to Jesus? When you think of why he came, you think of the love that God showed this world, how do you respond? You know, maybe right now, you're distant from God. You feel alone. You feel like life has no purpose. You feel lost. If that's where you are, then let's change that today. May today be that pivotal moment in your life where we go from ordinary to extraordinary. If that's where you are, remember what Romans 10:9 says. It says that if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. If that's where you're at right now, and the Holy Spirit is speaking to you the same way that he spoke to Simeon and directed him, the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. There's something that just feels like it's missing. Right now, let me tell you, it is Jesus. As you're reflecting, I came to know Jesus at an early age. I have had the blessing of being able to be raised in a Christian home. But as trials and hardships have happened over the years, I know that I don't just believe it, I don't just teach it, but I have tasted how good God is. And knowing that I'm not alone, knowing that he has a purpose for me, and knowing that there is a place for me in heaven. If that's where you're at right now, Let's do what Romans says and just confess with our mouth. Would you just say this prayer after me? Lord, Heavenly Father, I need a Savior. I believe that you sent Jesus to this earth. I believe that he came to this earth to die for me. Thank you, Lord. Jesus, come into my life and help me to live for you. I believe, Lord. Thank you for what you've done. Help me to live for you again. In Jesus' name, amen.